The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Israel bombed Beirut in the early hours of the morning, hitting close to Lebanon's parliament and leaving six people dead. The attack follows Israel's first military casualties itself in the ground invasion of southern Lebanon, as eight Israeli Defense Forces soldiers were killed in what they call extreme clashes against Hezbollah. John Simpson, World Affairs Editor with BBC News, joins me now. John, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Where does this end, John?
Well, if I knew that, I'd be a very happy person. My guess, and of course, I'd hate anybody to dig out a recording of this and play it back to me if things get really, really bad. But my guess is that there isn't enough in it for anybody except possibly Israel to push this further. Iran doesn't really want an all-out war. It really doesn't. I mean, there may be some people inside the Revolutionary Guards and so on in Iran who want to push it and push it, but the politicians basically don't. In Israel, there are parts of the ruling coalition that really do want to push the war to the point where Israel attacks Iran and takes out its nuclear capabilities. No doubt about that. But the question is, will it get that far? And my instinctive guess, looking back at all the different crises in the Middle East in the past, is that it won't go quite that far. But, you know, I could be wrong. Why not?
Now, the question of a response from Israel to the 200 missiles fired by Iran at Israeli territory, the US has cautioned against some extreme reaction, looking at what they call proportionality as being acceptable to the United States. But does Netanyahu pay any attention anymore to anything the United States says?
Well, he's learned that the Americans are tied to him by a kind of indissoluble link that means that even when he ignores everything they say, even when he fails to tell them what he's planning to do, just a matter of hours before he does it, the Americans, the Biden administration, has felt obliged to kind of back up and say, look, we're not in favor of this. Please don't go too far. But they're not going to come out and side with Netanyahu's enemies. And knowing that, Netanyahu can keep pushing forward. There is a real downside to this, which is that in the longer run, the United States is Israel's really only important ally. I mean, Europe counts for nothing very much in this. And it's clear, all the opinion polls show that particularly younger Americans are turning away from Israel in large numbers. And I think we'll find that President Biden is the last of the old school Democratic presidents who feels that he's bound to help Israel, whatever it does. I don't think Kamala Harris, if she gets elected, will take such a strong line on Israel's side. I don't think that Donald Trump, if he gets elected, will take the same. And an opinion poll just fairly recently, about 5 months ago, showed that more than 50% of young Americans agreed with the proposition that the land of Israel should simply be handed over to the Palestinians. So it's not a long-term strategy, this, for Israel, but in the medium and short term, they feel they can count on American support, whatever they do.
John, there was a poll I saw overnight suggesting that a majority of American Arabs support Donald Trump. And, you know, I was under the impression that Netanyahu was looking forward to a Donald Trump presidency as someone who would back him to the hilt, come what may, whereas, although the Democrats have to be circumspect in the run-up to the election, were they to win the presidency, there is probably the likelihood that they would take a harder line with Israel.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk over the years on the American side of taking a harder line. But ultimately, there's nothing really that they can do. Are they going to stop arms supplies to Israel? No, they're not going to. They know that if they do that, then things like the Iron Dome, which protected Israel against the Iranian missiles the other day, that kind of thing is going to be impossible to maintain, and Israel will be much, much more vulnerable. That is not a line that any present Democratic leader a Democratic Party leader in the U.S. could possibly sustain. So, they're bound together, they're tied together in this awkward, difficult partnership where Biden can see again and again the dangers of what Israel's doing, but Israel feels that it can just push ahead because ultimately they're in control and not the United States.
Now, you may remember there was a very limited cessation of an arms supply during the height of the Gaza attacks by Israel on what amounted to the civilian population by and large, although there were certainly Hamas bunkers and so on in Gaza, no doubt about that. But is it possible that America could say, for example, the bunker buster bombs we saw being used in the center of Beirut, sorry, you're not having any more of those, because they're the kind of weapons they would use in attacking the Iranian nuclear facilities?
Yeah, I mean, those things are definitely possible. The question is, does Israel really want to bomb Iran's nuclear capability, or its possibility rather than capability? And there are senior ministers in the government in Jerusalem who don't think that's a wise idea at the moment. There are equally others who are saying to Netanyahu, and it may be Netanyahu's own instinct to say, now is the time to go for Iran. Now, because Iran is not the all-powerful nation that often Israel likes to portray, and that sometimes the Americans do. It's riven with weakness. The political leaders there know that they don't have a grip on the support of the population. There's always been an element in Iran that wants to reestablish the relationship with the older relationship with the West. The current president, who was elected just earlier this in the summer, Masoud Pezeshkian, he came to power on a policy of becoming closer to the West and trying to restore the nuclear agreement which Iran had with the West until President Trump chose to abandon it. So Iran isn't a strong politically in a strong position domestically, and Israel knows that, and many people right across the whole stretch of politics and journalism, for instance, in Israel, are saying this is our chance. We may not get another one.
Now, the sophistication of the American electorate, I think, is some. In fact, it's a contradiction in terms, because looking at what Trump did with Iran, that rapprochement that was going on, and discussions about de-escalating their nuclear research and therefore potential nuclear capability. He stopped that, and therein you may see some of the seeds of the current conflict. But that would be lost on many of the American voters, I imagine.
Well, yes. I mean, it's easy for us Europeans to kind of make fun of American politics, and it certainly is true that there wasn't a sufficient discussion of Trump's decision to abandon the nuclear deal with Iran. It wasn't a perfect deal by any manner of means, but it did restrict the production and purchase of enriched uranium. And Iran, as far as most experts were able to tell, did stick to that agreement. And now, it because it doesn't have any controls on it, there are, I think, about 10 times as much in terms of the enriched uranium stocks that Iran has. So it is much closer now, if it chooses to be, to forming, to creating nuclear weapons. But I just want to go back to that point. Iran itself is so heavily divided. I mean, this is the president, Pezeshkian, he is against moving towards nuclear weapons. Now, he's only one of a number of voices there, and the Revolutionary Guards have a very loud voice in favor of getting nuclear weapons. The supreme leader, who supposedly has the overall power, but it seems to be getting weaker, really, by the year. I mean, it seems to hover between the two sides, trying to get some kind of agreement between them. So, you know, we tend to allow ourselves to do what the Israelis want to do, which is to say, Iran is an evil power and must be destroyed. Well, the fact is that Iran doesn't speak with a single voice and is very, very divided.
What did you make, John, of Benjamin Netanyahu's plea to ordinary Iranians, kind of going over the head of the politicians and saying, we know you're decent people, you could be friends of Israel, and almost encourage them to rise up against the regime, which would be extremely difficult, I imagine, given the militant nature of that regime against any protest. But what did you make of Netanyahu's plea? Was that aimed at other audiences rather than the Iranians?
No, I think that was genuine. I mean, and it is a fact that, I mean, if you had a free election there without any kind of controls, the kind of controls that we saw a couple of months ago in the election there, if it were just possible for anybody to stand and anybody to vote for them, I think we'd find something like 60% of the electorate would go for a leader, a government, which was much closer to the West than they've been for 40, 50 years. It's a country where the power of the mullahs has reduced in many ways, intellectually and spiritually, you could say, while their power to destroy the lives of people who stand out against them is still very strong. So therefore, you have a powerful police, powerful religious police as well, but they're acting against probably a clear majority of people who don't want that kind of regime any longer. So I think Netanyahu was right to appeal to that kind of opinion in Iran. It's just that it can't have any effect at the moment and won't have any effect at the moment. So to a certain extent, I think, you know, playing to the gallery, but the gallery not being in Iran necessarily so much as in other countries.
Finally, John, you know, in this grotesque tit-for-tat that's going on, 200 missiles from Iran aimed at Israel. Then in the meantime, we've 8 IDF members killed in southern Lebanon by Hezbollah. Next move, Israel, what do you expect?
Well, I mean, that's what the whole battle is going on about at the moment. Israel senses, and Netanyahu is absolutely correct. He sensed the weakness of Iran. That, for instance, you know that it's prepared to fight for the last drop of blood of every Hezbollah fighter, every Hamas fighter, but it's not prepared to suffer losses itself. I mean, that's a great weakness for Iran. There's a general sense that Iran simply, it's all mouth and no trousers. It will make every blood-curdling threat and not be able actually to do anything about it. The flights of missiles were extraordinary. Of course, we did have missile attacks from Iran on Israel back in April, and that really came to nothing very much. A lot more screaming and shouting and insults, but not actually any further attacks then. My instinct, but you know, I could be very, very wrong. My instinct is that this will pass over and that Israel will turn out to be the net victor without actually crushing Iran itself or doing anything major to Iran. But it all depends on that balance of power inside Netanyahu's cabinet, the people that say now's the time to destroy Iran once and for all, and the others who say that isn't the right approach at the moment, and we should try to de-escalate it. And, you know, I mean, sitting here in London, well, you could be sitting in Jerusalem and not have any idea how that argument is going out, but it is impossible to see what that group of 15, 16 people is going to come up with. But my guess is that we're not looking at World War III. That's my instinct.
Well, thank you for cheering me up, John. John Simpson, World Affairs Editor of BBC News. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.